wrapping up our series that we started back on the first Sunday of Advent, simply entitled Carols. And what we wanted to do when Timmy and I kind of thought about this season is, you know, we sing these songs, like the song we just sang, you know, O Come Emmanuel, it might be sung in almost every church in America this morning. It's probably sung at some point over the last couple of weeks. But songs like that and songs like some of the other songs that we've sung over the past few weeks, we sing them and maybe they become repetitious to us this time of the year, and it's just something that we kind of sing and we don't really think about. But there's a story that is told. There's something that goes on throughout the course of these songs that tell the story of Advent, that tell the story of the birth of Christ. And so what we wanted to do over these last few weeks is connect not just the story of Christmas in the scriptures, but the songs that we sing and how does this play out over the story of what is Christmas, Advent, the arrival of Jesus. And so the song we just sung this morning is our last hymn that we're going to look at, which is simple, O Come Emmanuel. This was originally written sometime around 1700. And it was written actually as a chant. There was something that was called the O Antiphones. And what would happen is you would get a group of clergy together and they would read a psalm or read a part of a psalm. And before and after they would read the psalm, they would have some type of chant that would always start with the letter O. And so they would read, you know, if you can imagine, they would pull out some psalms or pull out some scriptures that are related to the birth of Christ. And maybe before and after, they would simply just say, O come, Emmanuel. And then they would sing or recite the scripture. And then they would end it with, O come, Emmanuel. And so then they did that for about 150 years until around 1850, someone kind of had the idea of, hey, I think we can put this to song. And they kind of took those lyrics and added some verses and did some things. And now we have the song that we sing every Christmas, O come, Emmanuel. But why Emmanuel? I mean, what is the big deal with that song? What's the big deal with that name? Because unlike today, songs, at least names in those days, actually meant something. And I'm not saying that the names today don't mean anything, but sometimes we just take whatever's popular or whatever's kind of trendy or something that sounds cool, and we're like, oh, this is what I want to name our kid, right? And so it got me thinking this week, like, what are some popular baby names for 2019? And so I looked it up, and according to, like, the Social Security Office, who gets all the names, obviously, here you go, I'm going to give you the top five girl names of 2019. Starting with number five. Number five is Sophia. Number four is Isabella. Number three is Ava. Number two is Olivia. And number one, Emma. So there you go. If your kid is named one of those five names, then you're not that special. There's all of a bunch of kids named that this year. And if you're, sorry, Olivia, you were the first, I know, but now there's many more like you. And boys, you're not off the hook. Here's the top five boys' names. Start with number five. Number five is Oliver. Number four is James. Number three is William. So that's kind of some older names. They're coming back. It's pretty cool. Number two is Noah. And number one is Liam. So there you go. So you have, you know, those are kind of the top five girls and top five boys' names of 2019. And a lot of times those are just picked because they kind of sound cool. Or maybe some parents actually try to give them some thought. I know I've told some of you a story before, like with our kids, like with Jacob, when he's our firstborn, and Beth and I agonized over his name. And we went, and this is, you know, this internet was around, but it really wasn't around. I mean, it was there, but we were just kind of like, we were all into books. And so we're buying all these baby names books, and we're looking at meanings and everything. And we finally landed on, like, Jacob Alexander. Giannopoulos, right? And Jacob, the meaning is like humble servant. Alexander is leader of men. And so to us, we just thought, man, this is what a way to, like, call your son, you know, this humble servant but leader of men. And then our second child was a daughter, a girl. And Beth and I fought over the name of her, right? Like Beth wanted to, and Beth was like, I want to call her Emma Grace. Right? I mean, that's what originally she wanted to be called. And y'all may not be, I know this is going to be hard for y'all to believe, but I was not a nice child in school. Right? I had kind of a sharp tongue, and I would sometimes pick on kids verbally, you know, because I couldn't do anything physically. And so immediately I was like, no, we can't call her Emma Grace because her initials would be Egg, right? Emma Grace, you know, I'm like, a kid like me will be just be calling her like, oh, you're an egghead or whatever. I was like, we can't do that. And then I, obviously ahead of my time, I wanted to name her Isabella. And Beth was like, no, everybody's going to call her Izzy, and I don't want to shorten it with Izzy. And I was like, fine. And so we settled on Maria, right? And Maria Elizabeth Giannopoulos. And we just kind of settled on that. It was kind of we met in the middle, and we were like, all right, that's what it is. And then we had Joshua. Right? And if you have three kids, you know by the time you have your third, you don't really care. It's just like, it's like we're so focused on the two we have. I am not making this story up. Josh was a year. He was a day old before we named him. Like, we didn't even have a name. Like the day they came to us in the hospital with this birth certificate, they were like, you've got to give us a name. And we were like, what? You've seen him as much as, what does he look like to you? Like, we're just like, I don't know. Like, what do you want? And so we settled on Joshua, right? Joshua Elliott Giannopoulos. And so that was it. And I think the lady who brought Best Lunch that day named him. And it was just, we just took, but so names kind of sometimes mean something and sometimes they kind of don't. But in those days, names meant something. And the name Emmanuel meant something because way back in Isaiah, it was prophesied. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with a child, and she will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel. 740 years before the birth of Christ, he was named Emmanuel. So we fast forward to the Gospels, and we get to the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says this, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. And this is going back and looking at Isaiah and what he had prophesied. The virgin will be with child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, you guys know this, and we have four Gospels, and each Gospel is written to a different audience. You have the Gospel of Mark, which is written to the Romans. The Gospel of Luke is written to the Greeks. The Gospel of John is kind of written to everyone. But the Gospel of Matthew was specifically written to a Jewish audience. Because this Jewish audience were waiting on a Savior. They were waiting on this prophecy to be fulfilled. So the fact that he was able to write them and say, hey, guess what? He's here. The Savior is here. The King you've been looking for is here. God is with you. Luke goes on and he tells us, we know the story. We know some of the players in the story, the shepherds. Luke chapter 2 says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had seen, which was just as they had been told. And then in Matthew, we know about kind of, we call them the wise men. And it says, on coming to the house, they, the wise men, saw the child with his mother Mary. And they bowed down and they worshiped him. So what in the world would send shepherds back into the field rejoicing? What in the world would take these magi and these wise men, what would take their breath away to the point that they would fall on their knees and they would bow down to a child? It's because for the first time in their life, they realized that God was with them. Emmanuel was there. There was no longer this distant God. There was no longer this uninvolved creator. There was no longer this God that they just kind of saw as watching over them. The Word became flesh. And to the shepherds and to the wise men and to Matthew and Luke and everyone else that was telling the story, this was the greatest thing that had ever happened to them. And they could not hold back their enthusiasm. I think it kind of probably looked something like this video clip.
Wow! What's this?
This is the North Pole.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Where's the snow?
Why are you smiling like that?
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Make work your favorite. That's your favorite, okay?
Okay.
Work is your new favorite.
Fine.
It's time for the announcement.
Okay.
Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God! Santa here? I know him. I know him.
He'll be here to take pictures with all the children.
Yeah!
Just keep your receipts. 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 a.m. tomorrow.
Santa's coming to town.
Yes.
Can you sign this for me?
Oh, Hi. Santa's coming.
I mean, can't you just see that from the shepherds and the wise men? Like, he's here. Like, Jesus is here. Emmanuel is here. Like, he's a baby or he's a child, depending on when they saw him and what point in life. But they were like, he's here. Matthew is writing to the Jewish audience, he's here. Luke is letting people know the story step by step. He's here. The Savior is here. Should that not be how enthused we are? Like, when we walk out of church on Sundays, should we not be like, hey, everybody, God's here. Jesus is here. Like, Emmanuel is here. He lives. He's alive. He's here. But we don't. We walk out of whatever worship experience we're in, or Bible study, or ministry event, or mission trip. We walk out, and our hands are in our pockets, and we're just like, ah, that was nice. That was okay. When we get together on Sundays, especially at Christmas, and in all churches all across America, we sing Emmanuel, Emmanuel, you know, oh, come. Like, we sing these songs. We sing Hark the Herald Angel and Silent Night, Away in a Manger. We sing all of these things, and we might even believe these things. But we don't walk out, and our lives don't look like we live these things. What about our life really screams, he lives? What about our day-to-day life, our walk, our time with our kids or our spouses or our parents? What about the things we do in our classrooms and our jobs and our relationships with our friends? What about our life screams, he's here. He is alive. Because I think we sing it. We say it. We might even believe it. But do our lives look like we live it? Because Emmanuel means God is with us. He is with us now. To Mary in the book of Luke, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. When you are alone, God is with you as your companion. When you are lost, the Lord is with you as your guide. When you are weak, the Lord is with you as your strength. When you are sick, the Lord is with you as your healer. When you are hurt, the Lord is with you as your hope. And when you sin, the Lord is with you as your salvation. He is with us. Throughout the scriptures, when the Lord is described, he's often described as our comfort or our counsel. That word in the Greek, both those words come from the exact same Greek word. They mean the same thing. The word that it comes from is parakaleo. Parakaleo literally means to come alongside of. So when you talk about the Lord being my comfort, the Lord being my counsel, you're literally saying he is with me. Like, he walks with me. God is with me right now. And if we believe that God is with us right now, doesn't it stand to reason that he was with us then? It's not about just now. It wasn't like God just showed up in our lives today. God has been with us. You know, sometimes it's easier to see God, I think, in the presence even than in our past. But what if we stopped and really turned around and looked at our past? We see this in the scriptures. You pick out someone like Joseph, you know, and you know Joseph, he had the cool coat, and the brothers were jealous, and they beat him up and took his coat, you know, they threw him in a pit, he was found, he was sold into slavery, he went to jail, all of these things. But then it tells us in Genesis, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The Lord was with him. This is written after the fact. He's saying, look, I was with, even though Joseph felt like I wasn't there with him, I was there with him. I'm not just with him right now. I was with him then. I was thinking this past week as I was kind of putting the final touches on this message and kind of thinking about my own life. Like, I was thinking back to Beth and I now have been married 21 years, going on 22, and looking at, like, this Christmas that the kids are getting or things that we're able to give people. And just we can give, and we really don't have to worry. Like, we give. And but there was a time when Beth and I were first married, and I was in my very first youth ministry job, and I was making nothing. And she was in law school and obviously wasn't making anything at that point. And we would save up our money throughout the week just so we could go eat at a $5 buffet on Friday night, right? Because that was, like, something for us. Like we had this time. We were down to our last dollar. And now we're at a point where we can give abundantly, and we can bless families and people. We can't be in this place now and say God is with us now to where we're in a place where we can give unless we acknowledge that God was with us then when we had nothing. We still never wanted because he was with us. Even silly things, like my family had been asking for a dog forever. They're like, Dad, can we get another dog? Can we get a dog? We had a dog, a couple dogs that I loved. We had Rufus, a big mama, and they both passed away. They were these, like, big labs, and they had both passed away. And I was like, we're not going to get another dog. And they had been, please, Dad, please, Mike, can we get a dog? And they had been praying for a dog. I said, we're not getting a dog, right? And then all of a sudden, I go and I do this funeral. I don't know if y'all have heard this story, but I show up at the house to, like, go over what was going on at the funeral. And while I was going sitting there with the family, they had this dog that had, like, strayed up, like, a couple months before. And they were like, hey, in form of payment, can we give you this dog? I was like, no, I don't want this dog. And they were like, no, take this dog. And I was like, I don't want a dog, right? Like, that's not what I'm. And they kept on, and I felt bad because I was like, here's this family that's grieving that obviously hates this dog, and they just want to give it away. And I said, okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to call our vet. If our vet has an opening today, I'll take the dog with me. And if the dog checks out and nothing's wrong with it, then we'll keep the dog. So I called the vet knowing that, hey, they're not going to have an opening. No vets don't have an opening. I called. They were like, yeah, bring it up here right now. We have an opening. That minute, I took that dog up there. I was like, all right, tell me what all's wrong with it. I was expecting to have all. I mean, it'd been outside as a stray for, like, months. And they'd just been feeding it in its carport or whatever. They checked the dog out. They're like, this dog looks like it's been an inside dog for the, like, it's perfect. There's not even a flea on it. I'm like, ugh. And it's like, you know, it's like my kids, they had just been, like, praying for, like, oh, Dad, can we please? And then God gives us one, right? So now we have this dog. So he was obviously with them then when they were longing for this something. And God was there to even meet that silly need of, man, that's what I want. Maybe for some of you, you have been, man, just praying. Man, I want a child. Like, I want, like as a family, as a couple, like we've been married, and I just want a child, and we've been trying to conceive, and we can't. And I've sat down, and I've counseled with couples like that over the years. And we just start praying, you know, God, let it happen on your time. Let it happen. And then all of a sudden, it's like, it happens. And they come, they're like, guess what? We're having a baby. And it's awesome. And it's like God wasn't just there in that moment when all of a sudden the baby was born. God was with them during those times when they felt like maybe they weren't going to have another child or even have a child. God was with them. I've sat and I've counseled with people who were in terrible relationships, dating people they shouldn't have been dating or engaged to people, should be, all these kind of things. And then all of a sudden the relationship ends. And there's like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. Or I'll try to even talk to that person and say, look, you know, I can think of like one friend in particular, this guy, he was dating this girl. And she was really bad for him. And I was like, look, you just need to let her go. And he's like, I don't know how I'm going to live without her. I'm like, you just trust me. You just need to. And he did, and his heart was broken, and it was shattered. And now he's married to a wonderful woman, and it's like that girl isn't even on his mind anymore. And he looks back, and he's like, man, in the midst of my heartache, God was there, just like he is right now in my marriage. Like, God was there. I look back even at my own life in ministry, and I've been in ministry now full-time for like 23 years, went on 24. And some years have been great, and some years haven't been great. But there was a situation, you know, you guys, some of you guys were with me, like, you know, a few years ago. It was not a good situation in the church I was at. It was very frustrating. It was like I just wanted to do ministry, and everything was just, like, tied down with red tape and committees and power struggles and all of this. I'm like, I just don't want it anymore. And I just quit. I just walked in one day and quit. I said, I'm out, right? And then it's like the next day, Re3 was born. It's like, wow. Look at all God's done in the last 6 years here at Re3. God wasn't just with us now in the ministries we're doing. We're giving away 2,000 things to homeless people yesterday or serving 12,000 people because for the city. God's not just here then. He was with us, with me, with some of you guys. He was with us then 6 years ago. If God is with you now, he was with you then.
And I think it's important to go back and maybe look at our lives and look at whatever you've gone through in the last 3 years, 5 years, 10 years of your life, and what you're facing right now and what you may be facing in the future, that you're able to stop and say, let me see where God was at in my past. Because God is with you now, and God was with you then. Because he is Emmanuel. And it stands to reason that if God is with you now, and God was with you then, doesn't it make sense to believe that God will be with us in the future? That whatever is going on in your life, whatever tomorrow may hold, or the next day, or the next week, or the next month, or the next year, whatever is coming up, if God has been with you right now in this moment, and he was with you yesterday in whatever tragedy or heartache or struggles that you were going through, if he was with you then and he is with you now, I promise you he will be with you tomorrow. Man, I promise. Mary, right? I mean, she's a pretty big part of the Christmas story. You don't think that she had to trust God for tomorrow? That she was a teenage girl when she was pregnant? And her soon-to-be spouse was like, what is going on here? Like, this is not my child. You don't think it took some trust that God is going to be there in the future? That God is with me now. God was with me then. Obviously, like I don't know what the future holds, but I know I have to trust him. And maybe you don't know what the future looks like for you. Maybe you're a student and you're like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do with college. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know what I'm going to major in. I don't know how I'm going to navigate life. God will be with you in college. Maybe you're single and you're praying for that special someone, that person that God is going to bring into your life. And you're looking adamantly for that person and you want that person and you long for that person. If you look at your life and you can seriously say, you know what, I know that God is with me now. I know that I can look at moments in my life where I know without a doubt he was with me then. I know he's going to be with me in the future. And I know he has that perfect spouse lined up just for me. Maybe it's a job. Maybe right now you hate your job, right? You're in a place that is soul stealing. And you're like, man, I go to work every day, and it takes every bit of energy I can to go to work, and I come home, and I'm a grump, and I take it out on my family or whatever. Like, it's just trusting God. It's going back and looking in your life and saying, you know what, there were times in my life where I know that I struggled in my career before, my job before, or whatever, and I know that God was with me. I know that God has to be with me right now because it takes everything, you know, in my power and God's power for me to stay here and keep doing what I'm doing. And so I've got to trust that God's going to be with me in the future, that he has something lined up, that either it's a new job, a new career, a new position, or maybe God's going to change me so that I can change where I'm at, so that I can be kind of that instrument of change. But something's got to change, and I just have to trust God that he's going to be there. Or maybe it's something health-wise that you're looking at right now, and your health is scary. And you know what's going on, and God kind of knows what's going on, and doctors kind of know what's going on, and nobody else does. And you're like, you know what? I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. I know I'm going through some struggles right now. But I know that he's been with me in the past. I know that he's with me right now. I know that he's lined things up to give me just the right doctors and the nurses or the medicine or whatever it may be, the caretakers that I have. And I trust him that whatever happens in the future, he is going to be with me. Paul wrote to the church in Romans, he said this: who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither the height nor depth nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from God's future for you. Nothing. Nothing separated God from you in the past. Nothing is separating God from you right now. And nothing will separate God from you in the future. Nothing. Not your doubts, not your mistakes, not your disappointments, not your failures, not your sins. Nothing can take the name of Emmanuel off of God. Nothing. He will always be Emmanuel to you. He will always be Emmanuel to me because he is always with us. He was with us then. He is with us now, and he will be with us later. God is with us. There is nothing we can do to ever, ever change that. Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because why? Because you are with me. Because you are with me. He was, he is, and he will be. Always Emmanuel. So maybe the question this morning is not, is God with you? Maybe the question is not, is God with me? Maybe the question we need to ask this morning is, am I with God? Am I with God? Because I know he's with me. I know he was with me in the past. I can look at it in my life. I can go back and I can pick out moments that I know that I shouldn't have survived. I shouldn't have been there. I did stupid things. I said certain things or whatever it may be. Or there were struggles in my life and I know God got me through it. I know he has been with me. Maybe you can look at your situation now and say, you know what? Some days I'm barely holding it together. But the only thing that's holding it together is God, that he's with me. And maybe it's looking ahead to the future and saying, you know what? I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. But I know I can't make it without him. That he's got to be there. So maybe it isn't, is God really with me? Maybe the question we need to ask is, am I truly with God? Am I truly with him the way that I should be? Am I praising him for my past? Am I embracing him in the present? And am I trusting him with my future? Or maybe we look at our past and we look at the times when life is hard and maybe we're blaming him for what happened instead of praising him for being there with us. Maybe we're looking at our current situation and maybe we believe we are the ones that are holding it all together and not God. And maybe we look at our future and say, you know what? I trust my job more. I trust my spouse more. I trust my money and my bank account more than I trust God. All those things will let you down. All of them. Because that is not what holds the future. Is God with you? Absolutely. Has God been with you? Absolutely. Will God be with you? Absolutely. But what about you? What about me? Am I with him the way that I should be? Am I walking out of these doors, hands out of my pockets, just saying, Theus, I know him. He's awesome. He's a life changer. Let me tell you about him. He's here. Emmanuel is here. Or am I walking out just saying, yeah, I know him. He's a good guy. And let it be that. Do you know him the way that he knows you? That's the question. Emmanuel is with you always. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I pray this today, these next few days, as we approach the day we celebrate Christmas, Christ's birth, and every day after that. Lord, I pray that there's a name that we need to remember. It's not the name of the person that hurt us. It's not the name of our boss. It's not the name of the company or the person that holds our money. It's not our significant other. I pray that the name that we remember more than any other name is the name Emmanuel. God is with us. God, there's not a person in this room that can't look back at their life and see the moments and claim the moments that you have been there. And Lord, if we're really honest with ourselves right now, we know you're here with us presently. And God, I pray that we have Mary-like trust. That even though the future may be uncertain, even though the future may look scary, unsure of, there are doubts, there are fears, that
And we have that Mary-like trust. And we believe that you are with us. Then, now, and forever. God, if there's anybody in here this morning, and I include myself in that, that struggle with the idea of we believe that you are with us, but maybe we don't believe that we're totally with you. God, I pray you do whatever it takes to bring us to that point. To bring us to that point where we are with you one-on-one in a relationship that is richer and deeper, more lovely than any relationship we've ever had or ever could have. Through our doubts, our fears, our failures, our sins, nothing separates us from you. Help us to embrace that, Lord. To embrace the you that loves us so much that you became human, that you came from heaven to be with us, to be our Emmanuel. Lord, I thank you for this community. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the incredible lives that we've seen changed, some of them radically, in 2019. Lord, I pray for our future. Pray that as we walk back in these doors again in 2020, that we walk in with an expectation of not only you being with us, but knowing that you have great things planned in our lives, through the lives of the people that we can minister to or may minister to us. I pray blessings on our families, blessings on our couples, our kids, our adults, our individuals, everyone, Lord, who's here. Pray blessing on their lives in 2020. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, for being our Emmanuel this year, and for being our Emmanuel next year and every year after. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.